For 29 years, audiences in Eastern Idaho have enjoyed seeing the Forgotten Carols to kick off their holiday season. This year, fans of the popular stage musical will be able to see it like they never have before. A stage-to-screen version will premiere in theaters Friday, November 20th. The man behind the show, Michael McLean, joins us now to talk about it. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Good, good. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I'm excited about this new film version of the Forgotten Carols this year.
For the people who love this and it's part of their Christmas, if I didn't do it this way, we'd just all be out of luck. And I really felt, of all the times I've done this, maybe this year is the most important for this message. So,
you filmed the stage version in September.
Just a couple months ago, right. In September, we filmed it in front of a live, socially distanced audience down in Cedar, and Cedar City. And then, just yesterday, I saw it all edited together and sound and all that stuff in a screening room. So this was a little freaky. I have, in 29 years, Rhett, I have never seen The Forgotten Carols.
Yeah.
So I got a chance to see it, and I got this chance to look at me on the big screen, and that was really interesting. And after I overcame that shock, and I just let the story kind of, it's kind of like with all the changes I've done, and I think we've talked about this in the past, you know, every year I've tried to add something a little special, a little new. Well, last year, 2019, the version was a radical reimagining of it, and it felt so right. It felt like, oh, this was always supposed to be this way, that we started planning in January to expand the number of places we could go, more in the tour, more locations, more performances. And then COVID hit, and I thought, oh, shoot, this is, maybe it's just not meant to be for this year. And then Hamilton came out, and I thought, maybe people won't freak out if they see the play. Instead of, I've always wanted it to be a movie with, you know, Emily Blunt as Connie Lou and,
right.
And Anthony Hopkins as Uncle John. But I think it was supposed to be this way. And my son Scott did a Herculean job of figuring out how to take his screenplay and that reimagining and reimagine it for this version stage to screen adaptation.
Now, earlier you mentioned that you've always wanted to do an actual movie version of this. Where are we at now in that process? Is that still in the works? Is that still part of your plan?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because for, you know, 40 years ago this month, Mr. Kruger's Christmas, which I produced, was released to the world. 300 million people saw it in several languages, and I got to make that movie. I got a chance to stand alone in front of the LDS First Presidency and their 12 apostles, and I played all the parts and said, let me go make this movie. And they said, okay, and it came out 40 years ago. And so I thought, wow, what an amazing way to tell a great Christmas story. And then in doing The Forgotten Carols, because, and we talked about this the last time, because I've had issues with depression and feeling worthless and all those kinds of things. But by the way, Red, I did take my meds today, so I should be I should be fine. But I thought, here was my take. If this story, which I really felt was a special gift to me, if this story and these songs could really touch the maximum number of people, we need a big star, like Jimmy Stewart was a big star, and we need to get it all over the world with brilliant production values. And so I spent years trying to raise money, and it didn't work, and we got close, and then it fell through. And I thought, I wonder why none of this is working out the way I had hoped and prayed and dreamed. And then something happened when we were down filming this in Cedar, and then word got out, and our great friends at the Cineplexes and the Paramounts and the Cinemarks and all these theaters, they don't have Avengers 12 or 20 or whatever it is. They don't have blockbusters in their theaters. And they need to have content in there. So the possibility of ever doing this on all these, I think we're up to nearly 60 screens all over, movie theater screens, the possibility of that going into a movie theater during the holidays was impossible. It just was never going to happen, particularly a play that was filmed. But when we were filming it this year, and then as it was happening, I thought, maybe the people who have spent 29 years making this a part of their Christmas tradition, maybe what they want first is, Michael, before you retire this, before you're too old to remember your name and walk on stage, we'd love to have a really wonderfully preserved memory of this when you can't do it. So we don't just tell our kids or our grandkids, oh, we used to go see this thing every Christmas with this crazy guy that wrote all these songs and told this story, but you could actually see it. And so I'm thinking, I don't know what's coming next. I've never known what's coming next, but I do know that this version preserved this way was what it was always supposed to be. And if there are other, you know, everybody's seen a different version of A Christmas Carol, you know, over the years. Everybody's seen different performers do different takes on those Christmas stories. Well, maybe there will be in some future time. But I'm just thrilled that this happens now. And I hope that the people who are listening to this or reading this will get tickets, because A, they're cheap. It's a movie ticket. It's not a theater ticket. B, you can take everybody. There's a lot of different performances. So if you had been busy the night I came to Idaho Falls or Rexburg or wherever, Blackfoot, that's not a problem, because you can go in the next performance on the next day. So you can do all of that. And then by going, other theaters will keep it in the theaters longer so we can reach more people. So
I'm glad to hear that, you know, we're still going to be able to see it despite the conditions that we're all experiencing with COVID-19. You know, that's kind of been the challenge for everyone this year. How have you been holding up through all of this year?
Well, when it began, thanks for asking that. You know, in the beginning of this pandemic, we lost two really dear friends of ours to COVID. And in fact, Lynn and I were going to go down to Indian Wells to see the tennis tournament and see our friends Blair and Sue Garf and Bob Garf of, you know, the Ken Garf automotive fame and a number of other great things. And they both got it. And within 5 weeks, they were both dead. And it was the most awful thing to see what they had to go through, and the ventilators, and nobody could be with them, and when they were buried, it was a kind of a drive-by everything about it was awful. But because I am so compromised, I have diabetes, I have chronic kidney disease, I have always had really weak, terrible lungs. The doctors just said, McLean, if you get this, you'll be dead. And my kids were so protective of me that I've been, you know, uber careful about, you know, getting any kind of exposure and quarantine and all those things. And I was actually a little concerned about, will it be okay for me to go down to Cedar and get in a theater and do it? But they did such a great job with all the protocols and all the testing daily and all the temperatures and everybody wearing masks that wasn't singing a song on stage. No problems with it there. Great help from Cedar City, which had I don't know what the colors are, but they had a color that wasn't as extreme as Salt Lake area. And just when something would go wrong, I'd think, oh, darn it, we're not going to be able to do it. A miracle would happen within 36 hours, and we were back on. So that's been sweet.
That's great. That's great. Well, so are you feeling? Have you had your moments this year where you felt, man, I just want to get out. I just want to. I miss being with people.
Are you kidding? Bumping elbows and a mask and waving across the aisle. Oh, that's for a guy that was raised in a huggy, kiss everybody family. That's torture. I mean, that's just the worst.
When things get back to normal, what is it you're most looking forward to doing?
I think just embracing people I love, shaking hands, putting my arm around somebody at church, seeing a friend in downtown Heber and saying, how the heck are you, and give them a big squeeze. It's the interaction of human beings. I mean, somebody asked me when they were interviewing me about the show and everything else, what am I going to miss the most? Do I miss performing? Well, I've always been insecure about that. But the feeling you get when there is a human connection in the same room at the same time, that's what sustained me. It sustained me through my faith crisis that you and I have talked about a bunch. It sustained me through low moments with just difficulties in general. It's feeling and sensing that we're all in this together, and particularly at this time of year, people will let the magic in the air remind us all that no matter how tough it may be, we have never been and are not really alone. And that's what I treasure. And I wrote a song with my friend John Batdorf that you can Google up, called Last Summer by Michael McLean, and it's a song about what COVID has been like and what's it going to be like when we get back to normal. And I really love how the song turned out. So
that was just a recent project for you?
John and I did it all. He lives in Central Oregon near Bend, Redmond, Oregon, and he called me up. We've been writing songs. John is the original arranger and lead vocalist on Homeless with the Forgotten Carols.
Oh, I see.
And so we do a lot of our, and we've been writing songs together for 30 years. And he said, let's do something. I got a tune. What do you think? And I said, why don't we take on, he said, I think it's about, can we remember what it was like before this, and can we ever get back to it? And so I got to work on the lyrics with him, and then he recorded it, and then he did this amazing thing with it. He has a studio in his house, and because he's in the Las Vegas Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and because in L.A. he was a big-shot studio singer, he called kind of big kind of legends within the studio world all over the country that he knows, and they sang and sent virtually to him the background parts for the choir. So it's like 75 singers joining in on the chorus, and these are singers from famous bands and great songwriters and just really brilliant voices. And then he was able to pull it off like they were all in the studio at the same time, and he did it all from his place in Bend, Redmond, Oregon.
It's always interesting to watch how people have adapted to this unique pandemic and just made it work. Now, Michael, I know that around this time of year, you're pretty busy. I mean, you've got Forgotten Carols. You also have another Christmas production that you do in St. George at the Tuwakon Amphitheater.
But they're because of COVID, all of those other things have sort of shut down. So this is the first time in 29 years that I'm going to be home.
I was going to ask you about that. That's got to be nice to just,
well, wow. Actually, I don't miss the being on the road, sleeping in a different hotel bed every night and worrying about how the weather's going to be so that I can drive safely with my cast. And I'm not missing that. I'm missing, as I said earlier, that connection, that you pay that price and the sacrifice you make to get there is worth it because of the human connection. But man, I'm thinking maybe I'll have a couple of FaceTime Live or whatever they do with Zoom when the technology works, so that I can tell people, if you go see the show tonight at 10 o'clock, I'll sing for you live, and just do it from my living room with my jammy bottoms on, and maybe maybe that'll work. This is uncharted territory for all of us, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Are you looking forward to being live again next year, or do you think that this might be something that you might implement in the future just to, so you don't have to travel, so you can be home more with your family?
Well, next year will be the 30th anniversary And I always thought that if I could make it to 30 and be able to make a contribution and have it be great, that would be just a great time to maybe possibly have me retire it, but at least go out with a DVD and a memory of that that people could always have, and then let other people license it or do it. I used to think I knew so much. I used to think I could kind of sense what the future had in store, and now we've all learned we don't know anything. Who knows? What I'm looking forward to is the feedback to this new version, because even people who've seen this show a lot haven't seen this take, and I'm so excited for people to see it and sense it and feel it. And when I was writing it with Scott, our mantra was, if it doesn't feel like the change, if it doesn't feel like that change was always there, then we won't put it in. It has to feel like, oh, wasn't that the way it always went? Isn't that the way we always did that? That feels just perfect.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to getting the feedback. I'm hoping that both everything opens up and we have the right vaccines and people feel safe together again. And I would love to do at least one more round of this with these people that I've fallen in love with over the last 30 years. But I'm trying to not impose my own will upon the universe.
Well, that's great, Michael. And I'm looking forward to seeing it. It premieres November 20th at theaters throughout Eastern Idaho. It's a pleasure to talk to you again, Michael. Is there anything else that you want to end with? Well, anything else you want to add?
Yeah, people really have reached out to me and say, oh, Michael, we're so glad, you know, that you're offering this gift. We're so excited to see it. What can we do to help? And everybody tells me that the most help, so that the most people can see this, is that this opening weekend on the 20th, when it starts, between then and Thanksgiving, the more people that we can encourage to see the show then will mean that we'll be able to stay in theaters a little longer and maybe expand to other theaters and reach more folks with this message. So if my gift to you is getting this done so you can for sure have this memory, your gift back would be go see it soon.
Got it. Okay. Well, we will have more information about it in an article below this interview. Michael, again, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Okay, my friend, let me know what you think after you see me.
Okay, I sure will.
You know, he taught me to play that.
I'm sorry, who taught you?
Jesus taught me.
Yeah, well, that's nice.
Every Christmas, just before Christmas, I take out my ornaments and I place them one by one on the tree. And then we sing the carol that goes with it. And I have the strongest feeling supposed to do it with you this year.
I'm just here to help you to remember to take your pill.
No, I'm here to help us both remember something way more important than that. You know, miracles really do happen at Christmas time, don't they?
No doubt about it.
We're connected somehow, and the magic in the air is going to help us figure it all out. Can you feel it? Sometimes the veil
can be very thin.
I am a man forgotten, and no one recalls my name.
I asked you not to pray for me. Did you pray for me?
Yes.
I knew it. You can't do that. You can't send mysterious angel women to come and visit me.
I didn't send her. I've been praying that your heart would find what it's looking for.
But if I let you in, will you leave me too? I'll pray for you, Mom.
Merry Christmas, Connie Lou. Always make room for what matters most.